Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner. I'm Dr. Bud Marr. We are coming to you live from the Mercy Live Up Studio in beautiful Des Moines, Iowa. Coming at you at 11:50 a.m., 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, streaming live, iowacatholicradio.com. And if you have the Iowa Catholic Radio app from Blessman Ministries and the People's Abstract Company, you can hear us darn tootin' nearly anywhere that the intranets distribute its signal across the wide world of God's creation. Bud, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Bo. I was telling you before the show that I got somewhat of a scratchy throat, and you were theorizing this might be true, that maybe it's 40 days sans soda, and then you know that hits your system and your body's like, what is this strange syrupy drink?
Yeah, I know. I think that like your body, you know, gets used to the terrible things we eat, and then Lent happens, and then your body's like, oh, this is what nature feels like. And then you're like, just kill it, body. Just learn to drink the stuff.
That didn't work, yeah.
No. Well, I hope everybody else is having a slightly better reaction to all of their Easter splurging. It is Eastertide, so he is risen, bud. Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
So we want you guys to realize the wonderfulness of this time of year, and in order to do that, we're making sure to bring on a special guest that will help us out with that, Adam Story, who is Vice Chancellor, Head Commandant, Master General of Family Life.
We'll I'm not going to cross him.
Okay, that's right. You don't want to make him mad, right? But we'll have him on to talk about Easter and precisely how, if we reimagine Easter in the right key, it's not just all pastels and painted eggs and flowers, but really Christ's victory over death and what that means for us. But as always, we have to thank our underwriters who help us have this show. So Mercy College of Health Sciences, who gainfully employs Bud and I. We both have their shirt on today, so they even keep us in clothing, Bud. One of the things that's going on at Mercy College today, this week, is we have the students in our class in servant leadership giving their presentations of their service learning projects.
Yeah, one of our core values at the college is servant leadership. And like you said, with our course, students over the course of the semester do a 15-hour service learning project. So this past week, we're getting to hear how those things went. And it's neat. I mean, we talk about virtue and self-sacrifice and all these different ways that you can love the world and be in service to other people. But this week we get to hear testimonies of those things, so that's really fun.
And it's pretty great because there's some people who go, you know, I didn't want to volunteer, but now that I have, I really want to come back. But then they also have hilarious stories about people like boxing them in and parking lots or, you know, kids spilling milk on them. We get to hear the whole gamut. It's pretty
fun. Like you said about Easter, I think going into it, sometimes they think it's all going to be pastels. But no, this is nitty gritty. And so for us, it's kind of fun to hear that sometimes not everything went right. And I think that's an important thing for students to experience.
Not going right in a healthy learning environment. We're also brought to you by Cartridge World.
Yes, thanks Cartridge World for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio. Whether you are a business, a home office, a college student, or a busy mom trying to find affordable ink and toner cartridges, Cartridge World has what you need.
801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available, and they are committed to recycling and environmentally friendly printing. We also have a few things coming up that we'd love to invite you to. For one instance, Bud and I are going to be speaking Monday, August 24th for the Man Up event here in Des Moines. Starts out at 5:30 at Dowling Catholic. Ends up, I think, 6:30 or 7 when we begin talking. We'll be over at Twisted Vine Brewery just across the street. We'll be talking about the art of friendship, but then also maybe very particular ways to make this real in your life. So that'd be a good talk about. We'd love to get to see you there. And then also join us next week for our spring carathon. We hope that you guys plan to pledge your tax-deductible donation to help support our powerful ministry. Listener support is your gift and makes a difference and touches lives. We'll talk about that more, but we look forward to the carathon next week. Like I said, stick around, folks. In a minute, we'll be back with Adam Story. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr.
Attention all men, Man Up is meeting Monday, April 24th. Don't miss this opportunity to strengthen your faith and to meet new friends. Beginning at 5:30 with Rosary and Mass at Dowling Catholic Chapel, we'll then head on over to the Twisted Vine Brewery on Westtown Parkway, just south of Valley West Mall. Count on a great social time and program with a dynamic talk by Bo Bonner and Bud Marr. You won't be disappointed. This is the right time to invite a friend. Go to iowacatholicradio.com for more details.
Announcing the new time for the Iowa Catholic Rosary. Beginning Monday, April 24th, with our Spring Carathon, and continuing thereafter, the Iowa Catholic Rosary will begin at 9:40 a.m. and again at 9:40 p.m. each weekday.
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting the Uncommon Good with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr.
We're heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network.
A fun and engaging new show that we hope our listeners will love. Be sure to listen.
We're back with the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Marr. We have a wonderful guest in studio with us today, Adam Story. Adam is the Vice Chancellor of the Diocese of Des Moines. And then I always forget directly what you're called. I think it's Emperor Supreme of all family life of the diocese.
That's pretty close. Actually, maybe we should go with that. Usually it's Marriage and Family Life Office Director.
Oh, okay.
I like your title better. So
Supreme Lord and Commandant.
Yeah.
I mean, just throwing out some ideas. Well, we have Adam in to talk about Easter. Easter just happened. He is risen, Adam, alleluia. And I just think it's important to talk about Easter if we're going to talk about the ramifications for Catholic social teaching, our Catholic social life together. But what I really want to press is, you know, there's no way to really outdo the wonderful nature of Easter, but we really seem to do a good job of underwhelming ourselves with this great feast. And what I had in mind, so I always mess up, I always throw out Latin and then pronounce it wrong. So if you're Latinists out there, back off. But the Easter sequence, Victime Paschali Laudes, which is sung every Easter, has this wonderful line. A lamb the sheep redeemeth, Christ who only is sinless, reconciles sinners to the Father. And here it is. Death and life have contended in that combat stupendous. The Prince of Life who died reigns immortal. So I think it's actually very interesting, folks, that we think Easter and we automatically think pastel or ham, mm-hmm. lots of ham. We'll get back to that. We think of, you know, soft focused lens and frolicking in the springtime. But the early church had war imagery. And Adam, beyond having all sorts of wonderful things to say, you served in the armed forces. And I thought about this military imagery. And I was like, what better person to come on and maybe bring some insights as to why the church would choose this imagery and what it has to say about how we celebrate Easter now?
Yeah, well, and Bo, I think you're exactly right that, you know, we don't think about Easter as stupendous combat. We don't think about it as life really conquering death, God really defeating sin. And when I think about my military experience, and we kind of talked a little bit about this before the show, but one of the things that it drove home for me, one of the lessons you learn when you're in the military is that combat is real and combat is personal, that it affects you. You can't go on a deployment and not get affected by the devastation of war that you see. If somebody takes shots at you, if you're shot at, it becomes personal. It becomes very real, and you feel it, and you recognize that you're engaged in this combat and that this is serious stuff. But then what we think about this, you know, physical combat, when we talk about the military life and deployments, that's child's play when we compare it to the spiritual life. You know, that's the veil, that's the screen, but the real life, the real stupendous combat is the conquering of death, is what happened at Easter. It's what happened when Christ gave his life for us, when he defeated death, when he gave us new life. And do we recognize that personally? Do we experience that as a real combat? Do we experience that as a real personal experience that affects me? I think that that's really important. Are we horrified by sin? And do we really celebrate, not just with artificial joy, but do we really experience the joy of new life?
Yeah, that's great stuff, Adam. I was thinking, you know, when I showed up for the Easter Vigil, the church was packed. And I think one thing that really draws people to the Easter Vigil is the very visceral nature of the celebration, that, you know, you've got the paschal fire and the church is in darkness. Candles are handed out. When we get to the new covenant, all the lights of the church are thrown on, and bells are rung. And I think when we think about the public nature of the church, it's important to reclaim and to celebrate those aspects of our liturgical life. I know we were talking before the show, and you were saying, I think this is really true, that we can't always be on that mountaintop. Like, not mm-hmm. every Mass could be the Easter Vigil. But coming up in June, of course, we've got the celebration of Corpus Christi. And it would be neat if Catholics would embrace that feast in a similar way that they do the celebrations of Holy Week. Because on Corpus Christi, we have the opportunity to take Christ out into the streets, mm-hmm. literally. And mm-hmm. again, going back to your military experience, like, when I see personnel in the military, they're not afraid to wear their distinctive clothing, or they've got all these different habits and rituals that say distinctly who they are. I think the same holds true in the Catholic faith.
Absolutely. And that's a great comparison, because in the military, there is a reason why they do all those things. You know, you can tell a guy's in the military by his haircut. And why do we have that distinctive culture when we join the Marine Corps? Instantly you call everything different names. You know, the wall is the bulkhead. It's no longer a wall. And we use all these distinctive images because it creates a culture. It creates a community. And it really creates a new vision, a new way of seeing things that prepares you for physical combat. And the church kind of gives us those images. It gives us that culture. That experience, that it gives us the eyes to see what's going on underneath the surface. It gives us access to the spiritual realities, which are so much more profound than the things that the humdrum of everyday life.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. We have Adam Story on today as our guest. Adam, I think that joining what you and Bud were saying, you know, the reason that you make yourself have distinctive behaviors is because you're responding to a distinctive reality. Mm-hmm. So why do you have in the martial orders different habits or different dress or things like this? This is a long tradition of response to what it takes to carry on a battle. And, you know, various militaries across the world have done different things, but it still holds true that they're distinctive because they think the experience of what they're doing is distinctive. And when you apply that to Easter in the church, I guess that's one of the frustrating things, and not just like me being frustrated at other people, but frustrated with myself, that you go, you know, we've done Lent, we realize that we need to look at ourselves and be penitential, but if Easter is as distinctive as we say it is, you know, we're supposedly a nation that, like, entertains ourselves to death, has all sorts of diversions, supposedly we know how to party. But then here's Easter, and it doesn't seem like we distinctively know how to celebrate the greatest moment that the church has ever seen, the world has ever seen.
Yeah, you know, I think the challenges sometimes are entering into the season, it becomes artificial. You know, we've got the plastic eggs, we've got the very choreographed Easter egg hunt, and that's all we do. The reality, I mean, this is reality. This is the real deal. And it's a lot messier. It's a lot more human than all those sorts of things. You know, I think about the Easter Vigil, where you have, I mean, the most beautiful liturgy that the church has. And then my family, we attend it with a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And so it's this kind of dichotomy of you have this amazing experience that you're invited to enter into, this amazing reality. And then you burn your hand with wax, and then your daughter hits her head on the pew, and then you have to carry a child to the back of the church. But both of those things are a part of it. You can't have one without the other. You need to experience the mundane, experience the ordinary, but then you need to have the veil kind of removed, pulled back, so that you can see the deeper realities and enter into those realities as well. And that's the great drama of our Christian faith, that you have this surface-level stuff, and then you have this profound reality right underneath the surface that we have access to.
When you were talking about spiritual warfare, I was thinking that kind of mindset even impacts how we meditate on the mysteries of Holy Week. So I know in recent years, in theological circles, there's been discussion about what did the descent of Christ into hell entail? And, you know, with both the Passion and then later Holy Saturday, these things don't happen to our Lord passively, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he willingly goes to the cross, and then when he descends into hell, he's not going to be punished by the Father or anything like that. He's he's freeing the souls in purgatory, or not purgatory, I'm sorry, on the, what would you say, like the
limbo
outskirts
of the fathers.
Yeah, yeah, abode of the fathers, who are waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And so Easter really is about victory, and this victory that Christ achieved on our behalf.
Yeah, and a hard-fought victory, yeah. One that's not, that doesn't come cheaply. And, you know, in order to really experience the true joy of Easter, I think you need to experience the real horror of sin and the horror of death. And I think all of us, you know, that's another gift that the military is able to offer. You know, you always hear combat, it's made out to be glorious and noble and all these sorts of things. And then you talk to a combat veteran and they say, you know, it is ugly and it's messy and it's horrible. And death is horrible. And it's a problem when we insulate ourselves from it. It's a problem when we distract ourselves to the point that we're not struck by the horror of sin. We're not struck by the horror of death.
Yeah.
And if you don't recognize that, then you can't truly experience the joy of Easter.
Yeah, I don't know if I how long ago this discussion was. I'm not going to try to name names, but I was discussing with someone who was relating a story about someone who was either they had cancer or someone had recently died, and they said something to the effect of like, "Well, they're not really even going to be able to celebrate Easter this year." You know, they're not going to be in the right spirit, and it's not really the idea being like, "Hey, you know, they're too bummed out to celebrate Easter." And I didn't, of course, upbraid this person because I'm not 22-year-old Bo, who might have. I'm slightly older and maybe a little bit wiser. But in my heart, I was like, no, they're the person for mm-hmm. whom Easter might actually be able to be celebrated the way it should be. Because it's like you said, as long as we keep death and sin at bay, as long as it's just the thing outside the door that we don't have to worry about. And let's face it, folks, I know all of you have members of your family who are sick or who have died, but if you're talking about just pound for pound the amount of suffering and death that people deal with, we don't deal with it nearly like a lot of the world does. And it makes a lot of sense why Easter then becomes pastel bunny rabbits and mm-hmm. eggs instead of this needful thing where we go, I know what death is like and my Lord overcame it.
Yeah, and I think on both sides of the coin, you know, we get glimpses of it. If a loved one passes away, you feel the pain of death. You know, when you go through profound suffering, something that's out of your control, you get a taste of death. And what we tend to do is run from those things. And we tend to, you know, find ways to put bandages on it so we don't have to experience those things. The Christian response is the opposite, is to take those things into prayer, to be open to those experiences, to understand that this is the consequence of sin, so that we grow to hate sin. And then in Easter, too, you know, sometimes we're so distracted, whatever it is, we're distracted by the Easter egg hunt, we're distracted by the golf that's on TV. We get so distracted that we don't enter into the true joy of Easter and the liturgy of the church, the prayers of the church. These are profound moments to enter into the joy of Easter. And our kids get it. You know, my 5-year-old son, throughout Lent, not saying Alleluia, he would experience physical pain that he couldn't say Alleluia, and he'd have to throw his hand over his mouth to not say it. At the Easter Vigil, when he finally got to say it, he just kept repeating it, and he was so proud and happy that he was able to say Alleluia. That's childlike faith. You know, I wish that I had the faith that I responded in the same way. And it's beautiful to see that through the eyes of innocence that is accessible, and that's what we're supposed to grow into. That's what we're supposed to be drawn into.
You're listening to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Bud Marr. Just listening to both of you guys talk, I was thinking about how central Christ's passion is to our faith. And of course, during Eastertide, this is a very celebratory period, and we embrace kind of the joy of our faith. But wouldn't you say, Adam, that it's important throughout the year to have a kind of balance in this matter? And, you know, I've looked through some old Catholic devotional manuals, and it wasn't simply during Lent, but throughout the year, Catholics would pray prayers to ask for a holy death, to ask for the grace of final perseverance. And so, I mean, on one hand, we have to be careful about just like, oh, we're done with Lent, now it's all like hunky-dory, the rest of the liturgical season.
Oh, no, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, I think about it. I always have kind of a letdown when Easter comes because I'm so bad at Lenten sacrifices. And I cheat so often that when Lent when Easter comes, I think, dang, like, you know, I could be experiencing so much more joy. Because even though I gave up soda, you know, my system's still kind of used to it because I've cheated enough,
you know?
And, you know, we need to have ascetical practices. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to remember death, remember that that's coming, because that helps us enter into the joy of Christ conquering death. You can't have one without the other. The great gift of the Catholic Church, one of the great gifts of the Catholic Church, is we recognize the great pain and brokenness of sin, but we also celebrate better than anybody else does. You know, we celebrate and we have more joy because of those experiences.
Well, I think one way to really keep this in mind is, so one of the novenas that is happening right now is the Divine Mercy Novena, and mercy is a call word. A lot of people hear it. I mean, of course, Pope Francis has made it a very central aspect of his papacy. And mercy is another word where we can really flatten it to mean almost nothing, like, oh, God is the supreme nice person. But two things about the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I think, speak to what we're getting at and show us that, like, if we really would embrace Good Friday, then the celebration of Easter would even be more stupendous. One hand, the novena to the Divine Mercy starts on Good Friday, goes all through the Triduum, and extends all the way to the octave Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter. And I think what a better way to think that, right, that in order to start thinking about Divine Mercy, we don't start it on Easter, we start it on Good Friday, mm-hmm. and see it all the way through the rest of Holy Week to the second one. But the second thing is, when you're saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, what you keep repeating is, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world. But that in English, it's great, that alliteration, for the sake of his sorrowful passion. I mean, sorrowful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorrowful passion. And to think that mercy and that just overwhelming joy we have was won at a price, the battle stupendous. So if there's a way to make this practical, folks, I guess I would throw that out, is it's not too late to start a novena and think about the Divine Mercy and how that was won on Good Friday, broadcast out for the world, so to speak, on Holy Easter Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another, you know, one of the things, and my wife does an incredible job with this, she brings the liturgical year into our home and finds ways to celebrate. She had a little Easter candle, and John Leonetti did an interview about this last week, but she had an Easter candle made for our family, and we light it each night, and we pray together with the kids, and we'll sing together. And, you know, to really celebrate with good food, with song, with imagery of the church, this helps draw us into these realities. You know, we need to, I think in a lot of ways, we need to be woken up to these realities. And so, you know, this is the time for a great celebration, and we ought to be celebrating in our homes. We ought to be singing. We ought to be eating lots of ham. We ought to be embracing this, but also recognizing that embracing Easter also means hatred of sin and recognizing a hatred of death.
Yeah, I think to sum this up, the ham industry was really pro this interview, not so much the Easter egg industry or the sin and death industry.
Absolutely.
But I think if you can come out of a radio show being pro-ham, anti-sin death, and Easter egg hunts, which I'm not the biggest fan of either, I think we've had a good show. Adam, it's been fantastic. Thank you for coming on, and just wonderful insights. God bless you this Easter season. Alleluia. And Easter blessings to all your family.
Alleluia. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks. We'll be back in a minute. Stick around with The Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher.
Announcing the new time for the Iowa Catholic Rosary. Beginning Monday, April 24th, with our Spring Carathon, and continuing thereafter, the Iowa Catholic Rosary will begin at 9:40 a.m. and again at 9:40 p.m. each weekday.
Attention all men, Man Up is meeting Monday, April 24th. Don't miss this opportunity to strengthen your faith and to meet new friends. Beginning at 5:30 with Rosary and Mass at Dowling Catholic Chapel, we'll then head on over to the Twisted Vine Brewery on Westtown Parkway, just south of Valley West Mall. Count on a great social time and program with a dynamic talk by Bo Bonner and Bud Marr. You won't be disappointed. This is the right time to invite a friend. Go to iowacatholicradio.com for more details.
Thank you, R&R Realty Group, for underwriting Dowling 365. R&R Realty Group has been accommodating business expansions and real estate solutions since 1985, solving commercial real estate needs by establishing long-term relationships built on trust.
And now, great moments in church history.
The year 2017. The place, literally wherever you went to church on Easter Sunday. Folks, if this is what we say it is, this is the biggest, greatest moment of the year, the decade, the centuries, every year. What are you doing about it?
He's walking into the parish with his family. It's crowded. He didn't see that coming. There's nowhere to sit. He's standing in the back.
Look, I don't know what to say here, people. If Easter is really what we say it is, Jesus Christ risen from the grave, well, I mean, okay, you ate some ham. I'm proud of you, but you should be eating, like, ham every day. Copious amounts of ham and just clearing out the cupboards. For 40 days you didn't eat Twinkies. This is Easter, people.
Now he's clumsily crossing himself, looking around, trying to follow others with the motions. He receives Holy Communion. He's headed home. There's golf on the television.
People, 8 days is not very long. 8 days. 8 days, act like Easter is all that we say it is. In 50 days, the church is giving you 50 days to act like you can party however you want to. Folks, this is the greatest moment in church history, and we get to celebrate it every Sunday. Sunday! Sunday!
His kids are getting on his nerves. He makes them play outside. But before going to bed, he groggily says the rosary.
Literally, folks, Easter is the greatest moment in church history. Celebrate it. God bless.
I guess one amendment to that Yahoo that you just heard is, I don't think you can celebrate however you want to for 50 days, but however within the bounds of church. Like, really, though, you should celebrate the holiday.
Yeah, celebrating is important. And I think we should clarify something before going off the air, Bo. Like, with our Easter egg hunts, are these venial or mortal sins? We got to get some medieval moral manuals on this matter.
I don't know if we meant to come out as anti-Easter egg as it sounded.
The Cadbury Egg CEO was like, drat, uncommon good. Okay. Well, Adam, any branch of the military that you want to bash before we go off the air?
Well, there's the Marine Corps, then there's kind of the Boy Scouts.
Shots fired.
All right, well, to close up, join us next week. Like I said, the Spring Carathon, we'd love to have your pledge to help us carry on this wonderful ministry. Like I said, Man Up is next week on the 24th. We'd love to have you there. Check it on the website. Rosary coming up. Bible in a year,
5 a.m. every day, Bible in a year.
And otherwise, people, just happy Easter. It's such a wonderful time. God bless. He is risen. Alleluia. And may the Prince of Peace reign in our hearts, in our families, in our city, in our state, country, and the entire world. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. We will see you next week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.